Springfield's Talk 104.1 and a good Tuesday morning, everyone. There is a slight chance we might see some showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 2 o'clock. A full look at that first alert forecast coming up here in just a couple of moments. Have you noticed this? You probably have. And it's everywhere. I'm watching, for example, Fox News. After the 5, Brett Baer comes on. And the first story, it seems like it's maybe a 4-minute package on the Buffalo shooting. And it goes into the details about some of the victims and this person, you know, 62-year-old or 67-year-old so-and-so was there to buy a birthday cake for his grandson. And, you know, it's putting the human element to it, important. And, of course, notes the hate crime component to it and the individual, the racist motivation that law enforcement believes was involved here. And the story, you know, it's, like I said, maybe 4 minutes or so. And then there was almost like an aside. Oh, yeah, and then that shooting out in California, police believe that that was motivated by hate, too. It was like 20 seconds long. Like, what is it if you're, like, you have to be killed by the right sort of person to get any sort of attention? The people out in California, because their shooter wasn't the right type of person, what, they aren't as important? The stories don't need to have that human element to it. It's like, oh, yeah, that's just some sort of hate crime probably. They hogtied the guy. You know, it's no big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. Just as big as anyone else getting shot. I think we need to stop pretending as if some lives lost are more important based on who the shooter is. Do you know there was apparently a targeted shooting in Dallas on Wednesday that law enforcement believes that the shooting, they say they think it was a hate crime at a Koreatown salon that they also believe was tied to 2 other potential hate-related targeted shootings. And they have somebody arrested. Now, have you heard anything about this? What appears to be a serial in some capacity, somebody that, according to law enforcement in Dallas, may have committed 3 separate hate-related shootings. There's an individual that they're speaking with right now. A suspect is arrested, but we don't know anything at all about this person, what this person's name is, It's just remarkable how you can have these targeted or potentially targeted shootings for reasons of hate. But, man, it's like got to be the right combination. It's like playing Yahtzee or something. You know, it's got to be this color person that is trying to kill this color person for it to be considered really important. I mean, has anyone asked, and maybe they have, I've missed it, the White House, why is Biden going to Buffalo but not California? Here you had 2 shootings, individuals targeting the victims because of what we classify as hate. And everyone is pitching a fit about one. You've got the President of the United States and his wife. They're going to go to that. And it's just like, those Asians. Yeah, you know, what are you going to do? It is just so profoundly obvious. And I guess we have all just, it's, I don't know, so accepted and transparent that I guess if I'm in the White House, I'd be like, Mr. President, you can't go to one and not the other. That's going to look pretty bad. That might look a little too obvious. It might be just a bit too obvious if you're going to go make a big deal out of this shooting, but then in the same short span of time, another hate crime event took place, and you don't go there. You know, that could look just a little bit, maybe like you're using the tragedy in order to try to score political points. Just maybe. I haven't heard. Maybe they are planning on making it out to California. I have not heard. But I don't know. On one hand, I think it's so clearly political and tone deaf, but maybe we just know these people in the Biden administration so well, they don't even bother to try to pretend. We're like, oh, yeah, it's a big surprise. Shocking turn of events there. Jason Reimer with the latest news update. First alert forecast, sponsored by Navant, employee benefits that work. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly before 2 this afternoon, increasing clouds, high of 77. A 30% chance of showers, storms tonight, 65 for low. Chance of showers, storms tomorrow, high of 86, sunny 86 on Thursday. Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty, any of your home buying needs, this is a gal you want to connect up with. I mean, this is, she's it. She's the bee's knees, cat's meow, cat's pajamas. All of those really cool hip phrases. They describe Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty. She loves what she does. She does it very well. She has a passion for it. And she's straight up honest with you. She's not there to stroke your ego and to do any tell you whatever you want to hear in order for you to use her. She's not going to do that. Her number one goal is to make sure if you need to sell your home, you're going to be able to sell it when you want to and get as much out of it as you possibly can. That seems pretty reasonable, right? And here's the thing. She's really good at it, too. So whether you're looking to sell or buy a home, Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty, under Nick's endorsements, KSGF.com. Many of the offenses, political offenses that Democrats screech about, you find that they are the greatest offenders. And one example of this is dark money. Democrats love to run around talking about the evils of dark money, yet consistently they are the party that benefits the most from dark money. Tremendously. And so they're able to have it both ways. One, because the media is on their side, so they don't point out that they're lying. And frankly, many of their supporters don't care. There is a new group called Accountable Tech, which calls itself a small nonprofit taking on big tech companies. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? It must be good. When you look into this, you realize this is yet again dark money. This is money that comes from mysterious places, we don't know where, because the groups that raise the dollars don't have to report it, so we have no idea where it comes from. Now, whether that is beneficial or not isn't the point right now. The point is, again, the Democrats always rail against dark money. So it was in May, the group called Accountable Tech, the small nonprofit taking on big tech companies, organized a corporate boycott to protest Elon Musk's bid to buy Twitter. In the Midwest, a group called Opportunity Wisconsin, which bills itself as a coalition of Wisconsin residents. So it's just normal people, that's all, coming together. They ran a deluge of TV ads slamming Republican Senator Ron Johnson for his tax policies in Arizona. An organization of, quote, grassroots racial justice activists by the name of Just Democracy released a video blasting Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema for failing to support the Biden administration's legislative agenda. Now, you want to know the kicker about all of these different organizations? None of them actually even exist. So Democrats are figuring out a way to not only use secret money to go after their enemies, but they're now doing it through organizations that don't even exist. None of the groups actually exist. They are all registered trade names for the North Fund, a shape-shifting nonprofit group that uses aliases to push an array of left-wing causes from a shell office in Washington, D.C., according to corporate records. Political watchdogs say the fund, which isn't required to disclose the donors behind its $66 million budget, is gearing up to be one of the most consequential dark money players of the midterm elections. And while AstroTurf groups are nothing new in politics, AstroTurf is a reference to groups that portray themselves as being grassroots, but really they're not. It's fake. It's just, that's marketing. AstroTurf, fake grass. They're nothing new in politics. Critics note that the North Fund is part of a new breed, moving away from specific policy advocacy and delving into electoral politics. Hayden Ludwig, a senior investigator with the Capital Research Center, said North Fund has said screw it. They've decided just to be as partisan as they can. Their money has been pretty much exclusively focused on Senate races, on ballot initiatives, and a few things kind of related to that. The general theme there is cementing permanent Democrat majorities in Congress. I'm sure the news leader will be all over this sort of thing soon, as will the rest of the media. The North Fund, which was founded in 2018, is helmed by a handful of Democratic operatives, including former Clinton aide Jim Gerstein. It operates under at least 8 separate trade names, according to D.C. corporate records, including 51 for 51, a group pushing for statehood for the heavily Democratic District of Columbia, and the Voting Rights Lab Action, which advocates for voting policy reforms favorable to Democrats. Under the guise of Opportunity Wisconsin, the group has poured $4 million onto negative TV advertising against Johnson, making it one of the top spending outside groups in the state. Through another alias, the Democracy Docket Action Fund, the nonprofit has helped finance state-level redistricting lawsuits that favor, surprise, surprise, Democrats across the country. And then there's the Accountable Tech, the boycott campaign which seeks to pressure Twitter to restrict free speech from conservative outlets and Republican politicians. It has received some international news coverage. Caitlin Sutherland, executive director of the Americans for Public Trust Watchdog Group, told the Washington Free Beacon, quote, from trying to make D.C. a state to funding Democratic operative Mark Elias's politicized lawsuits, North Fund's presence is often felt, but their very existence is virtually unknown. If untraceable money is flooding the latest policy or legislative fight under the guise of grassroots activism, chances are North Fund is behind it. Critics note organizations like the North Fund can also have an outsized impact on the private sector because corporations have a hard time discerning its work from bona fide grassroots groups. Quote, corporations rarely understand that a vast majority of these boycott campaigns are organized and run by hyperpartisan political hacks instead of thoughtful and experienced policy experts. They disguise themselves in idealistic-sounding group names while structuring their organizations in such a way that hide the true motivation and identity of their large donations, or their large donors, rather. The North Fund, for its part, received $66 million in 2020, according to its public tax disclosure, nearly all of it from large contributors. Over 93% came from donors giving over $1 million apiece. While the North Fund doesn't disclose the names of its contributors, it is required to report the donation amounts. Americans for Public Trust was able to trace some of the funding using grant data from other nonprofits. Sutherland found that the North Fund received $19.3 million from the 1630 Fund and over $11 million from the New Venture Fund, two organizations that share the same address in D.C. Similar to the North Fund, the groups operate under at least 50 separate trade names, including Fix Our Senate, Floridians for a Fair Shake, and the Voter Engagement Fund. However, the 1630 Fund and the New Venture Fund don't disclose their donors either, leading to a dead end in the money trail. The North Fund declined to comment on its funding relationship or its use of trade names. The group told the Free Beacon that it, quote, follows all disclosure requirements related to the disclosure of individual donors and guarantees. Quote, the North Fund is a nonprofit social impact organization that partners with community leaders and organizers to help make our society a more just, fair, and equitable place to live, work, and raise families. As a fiscal sponsor, the North Fund provides operational and administrative support to projects, including legal and compliance, HR, accounting and payroll, and grant-making support. Despite its large budget and impact, the North Fund has almost no physical footprint. When the Free Beacon visited its office in downtown D.C., a co-working rental space managed by the company Car Workplaces, the front desk manager said the North Fund uses the address but doesn't even maintain a presence there. Quote, I'm not sure where they're actually located, he said. The North Fund is managed by a Democratic consulting firm called Arabella Advisors, which also keeps the copies of the fund's public financial records according to the fund's tax disclosure records. Nonprofit groups are required to provide physical copies of these records to members of the public who request them in person, a spokesperson for the IRS told the Free Beacon. But at Arabella's office building in D.C., the lobby receptionist told the Free Beacon that they were under strict orders from the firm to turn away all outside visitors. When the Free Beacon stopped by the listed D.C. address for the 1630 Fund and the New Venture Fund, the North Fund's primary donors, their cavernous full-floor office suite was completely deserted. The groups had recently moved out, leaving just a couple of office chairs. The logo for Arabella Advisors emblazoned on the floor and a piece of paper taped to a radiator that read, kid you not, loose lips sink ships. So next time, and it's going to happen because this is something that they oftentimes campaign on, dark money. Oh, dark money, and they play it up as if they are the pure grassroots party, while Republicans has all of this hidden money behind the scenes. Every election cycle, Democrats, oftentimes to a massive degree, the Democrat Party is the party that benefits from the dark money, and now they're utilizing organizations that are in name only. I'm sure. It's all on the up and up. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. America Transmissions Talk and Text Line 447-KSGF. It's in the app. Download that app. Then all you got to do is tap a button. You can send your messages right here to the studio. Friday, we do have our Friday Road Show at Scramblers. I know we're a few days out, but, you know, it'll be here before you know it. And that, of course, is sponsored by Affordable Towing. So a big thank you to them sponsoring our Friday Road Show every Friday at Scramblers. Traffic update, I'm Nick Reed. Oh, by the way, new U.S. Senate poll numbers for Missouri. Is Greiten still in the lead? It's an interesting tease, isn't it? First Alert forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 2 this afternoon. High of 77, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, low of 65 overnight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms Wednesday, 86, and Thursday sunny with a high of 86. State Attorney General Eric Schmidt outpaced the field in the race for the Republican nomination for Senate in Missouri, according to a fresh poll conducted by the firm owned by his top political advisor. The last couple of polls that we have had come out have connections to the candidates that show that they're winning. And that has been Greitens and Schmidt. I've talked to some degree about why polling is done, the different reasons polls are done. Oftentimes they're done in order to demonstrate. The questions are asked in a way get a certain answer so that that campaign can release those numbers and say, hey, look, we're ahead. I'm not suggesting that's happening here by any stretch. I have no idea. Sometimes it's a campaign really genuinely wanting to know, how are we doing? Where are we weak? Where are we strong? So we can do more of the strong, less of the weak. And if it happens at the same time to show they're doing well, you release that poll as well. State Attorney General Eric Schmidt outpacing the field in the race for Republican nomination for Senate in Missouri, according to the fresh poll conducted by the firm owned by his top political advisor. The survey from Remington Research Group, a firm owned by Schmidt strategist Jeff Rowe, showed the Missouri Attorney General in front with 29%, followed by Representative Vicky Hartzler at 23%, and former Governor Eric Greitens at 21% in third place. Notably, this poll from Schmidt follows the release of an internal survey from the Greitens campaign that said that Greitens was in the lead. The poll shows Eric Schmidt trouncing former disgraced Governor Eric Greitens by 8 points and leading all other Missouri U.S. Senate candidates by double the margin of error, was how the Schmidt campaign characterized the data in a press release issued yesterday. The poll of 945 likely GOP primary voters was conducted May 11th and 12th, margin of error plus or minus 3 percentage points. The survey showed undecided vote 17%. Former President Donald Trump is yet to endorse in this primary, but said he does plan to do so. And the leading candidates have been jockeying for his support. The poll from the Greitens campaign earlier this month was at a direct appeal to Trump. The former president is being urged by party insiders in Washington, D.C. and Missouri to endorse anyone but Greitens. And the former governor was using his survey to prove he's poised to win the August 2nd primary. Greitens resigned from the governor's mansion in 2018 amid sexual misconduct allegations. He has recently been accused of further improprieties by his ex-wife, Sheena Greitens, but continues to deny all allegations against him. Senator Josh Hawley has endorsed Hartzler. Ted Cruz has endorsed Schmidt. And Senator Roy Blunt is retiring. Trump's play, if Trump does make an endorsement in this race, I don't know what it would be. Trump has, I think it's fair to say, come very close to endorsing Billy Long. Talking about how great he, it's just, seems like he's just getting right to the edge. Like he's not quite doing it yet, but he's letting you know that he really, really likes Billy Long. I've also in the past spoken about how Trump, with his eyes on the White House, I'm sure, is interested in Republicans controlling Congress more so than not controlling with a bunch of Trump allies. Because while having the establishment or at least a mixture of Trump members and establishment members, as long as Republicans are in control, then some things he might be able to get done. If he only goes around endorsing candidates that he feels are really, truly, genuinely in his corner, but those numbers don't add up to control of Congress, he's not going to go that route. I think what works in Congressman Billy Long's favor is the fact that more and more it appears as if Republicans potentially could have a huge wave to where Trump could throw endorsements towards some of those that aren't necessarily polling very well, but he does like, and he feels like they deserve it, and this could be one of those races, potentially. I suspect that he's waiting until things come into a little more... Listen to me talk like I have any idea, right? I mean, this is just looking at it, observing it, what makes sense, knowing what... You know, or believing I know what it is that Trump's goals are, it's like anyone else's guess. But what I imagine, if I had to speculate right now, Trump was waiting just to see how things, as we get closer to that finish line months away, does it in fact look like every single congressional race counts to where you've got to be very, very strategic? Or does it look as if Republicans are going to win by a significant margin so he can go ahead and maybe throw support behind some that he doesn't know? I'm not saying that he thinks that those candidates can't win, but they're, according to polling, maybe not doing as well. And so it allows him to go ahead and show some support where he thinks that that loyalty is deserved, or that support is deserved because of loyalty and a consistent backing. And I think it's been fair to say Billy Long has about as long, if not longer than anyone, has been tried and true, steady in his support of Trump. So I imagine if there's any candidate that Trump would be willing to throw support behind, even if he's not sure that candidate would win, it could very well be Billy Long. We'll see. But in the meantime, you've got Greitens releasing his polls, says he's in first. Schmidt releasing his polls, saying he's in first. And that's where we are. We got a long time till August. Meanwhile, the Washington Examiner editor-in-chief, Hugo Gurdon, told Maria Bartiromo that Republicans in Pennsylvania, quote, are really worried that Kathy Barnett might come through and spoil it for them. Gurdon joined Mornings with Maria on Fox Business yesterday to discuss the heated GOP Senate primary. Now, we've talked about this. Hannity is just, I mean, he's not hiding it. He is very, very, very pro-Oz. He's very, very, very anti-Barnett. And we talked about this race last week. I find it interesting because you have this individual who has hardly any money at all, who ran for Congress once. I'm talking about Kathy Barnett, who has said and done controversial things. People say she can't win, and she's just come out of nowhere. Now, recent evidence in polling shows that that is eroding, that's a tight race that she is benefiting from, is eroding away. And it doesn't surprise me because, I mean, I don't want to say the establishment, but Republicans are all over her. It is clear they are doing everything they can in order to get her. I mean, they're finding pictures of her, and in the crowd, there's a Proud Boy there. So they're like, why are you marching with Proud Boy? I mean, they are doing everything to get her out. I will say, make this observation here, and this has nothing to do with her as a candidate per se, or in Missouri, Greitens as a candidate. But the Republicans are kind of, they're going back to this thing where they're trying to tell voters, you better not pick this person because they can never win. And I'm telling you, I'm hearing the exact, almost word for word, lecturing to Republican voters that they were the recipients of when Trump was running. Now, Trump, of course, not only won the nomination, but got elected president. That doesn't mean that Greitens, if he got the nomination, would automatically win the U.S. Senate race. And it doesn't mean that in Pennsylvania, Kathy Barnett, if she were to get the nomination, that primary is today, that means that she is going to, like Trump, succeed in the general election. That's not what that means. But, it's just, you're hearing this more and more where you have some Republicans that are telling all, don't vote for that person because they can never, ever, ever win. And you know, it's funny. Every one of these races is the most important race in the U.S. Senate. Do you know how many articles have been written about the Missouri race saying that Greitens could be the reason that Republicans don't regain the Senate? That the whole thing's going to be screwed up because of Greitens? Well, now it's in Pennsylvania. Now Pennsylvania, with Kathy Barnett, all you people who vote for her, you might be the reason that Democrats control the Senate after this. And it gets rote with me at some point. And again, it's not that it's an inaccurate statement necessarily, but just those old echoes coming back of lecturing Republican voters about, you better not pick this person because you're going to screw it up. And I'll tell you what it does do sometimes is it pushes some people to vote for those candidates. Because they feel like if the establishment doesn't like them, even though it may not be solely the establishment that's against them, but they hear that, that's when they feel that lecturing. When they hear the folks in the party telling them you'd better not vote this way because if you do, you're going to screw it up. That there's just something instinctually about that causes a lot of people to go, you know what? Screw you. Don't tell me what to do. How about instead tell me why I should vote for you instead of telling me that I'm going to screw it up and lecturing me if I vote for the other person instead? It can backfire. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. All our building company, they design you customized with speculative homes by Aller. You don't sacrifice quality for budget, and their goal is to keep the process simple and ensure you get what you want. Enjoy the finished product. You can follow them on social media and see the work that they do. Their showroom floor, the brand new one they're building, there is a temporary one in the meantime, so you still get to pick out what it is that's going to make that house you buy, your home. All our building company under Nick's endorsements, KSGF.com. You know, we're sending troops to Africa. The deployment of troops to Africa was announced on a call yesterday. A call. The Biden administration deploying what they say will be less than 500 troops to Somalia. Oh, good. We get to go back there. Got some great memories of our time in Somalia. This is to counter the threat from the terrorist organization Al-Shabaab, according to a senior administration official in a call to reporters yesterday. Biden approved Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin's request for a persistent presence. So that would mean for the foreseeable future, right? No timeline. A persistent presence of troops to be deployed from their post in East Africa over time. The president's decision was made in early May, according to the New York Times. The announcement is a reversal of the Trump administration's decision to pull troops out, or to pull troops after the Obama administration efforts in the African nation. The country has been long under threat from Al-Qaeda. The official said the administration inherited a challenging situation. Well, of course, you've got to blame Trump. Oh, these people are so predictable. The administration inherited a challenging situation in Somalia, and this proposal was put forward by the Department of Defense as a way to help us improve things. Consistent with its stance to bring many troops home from overseas, the Trump administration ordered the withdrawal of 700 troops on December 4th of 2020, assuring that the U.S. would still be able to conduct counterterrorism efforts and thwart threats to the U.S. homeland. Do you ever get the idea that Biden, all he does is just the opposite of what Trump did? This is a guy who pulled us out of Afghanistan in the most horrific, most catastrophic way possible. And for what? What did he say? Well, how long were we supposed to be there? Like, there was no real reason to be there. That it wasn't maintaining stability. We had been there a long time already anyhow. How do you justify then just shifting? And yeah, it may not be 2,000 troops. It starts out as 500 or less. You send them to Somalia. And for what reason? Well, we can't just let terrorists, you know, run through the countryside. Don't you know they have terrorists in Somalia? Yeah, they had some in Afghanistan too. Trump drew us down to a level that he felt at the time was necessary in order to prevent a total collapse and chaos. Biden comes in and is like, ah, screw it, pull the plug on this thing. We still don't know. He claims that every general agreed, you know, that he just did what he was told. They all said the same thing. Of course, they said otherwise. During congressional testimony, it wasn't as clear-cut as Biden claimed. So either he's lying about them or they're lying about him. Trump doesn't see any strategic reason to continue to put American lives in danger in Somalia, so he pulls him out, and Biden's like, no, we're putting him back in. Why? Again, are you going to say, oh, because terrorists are down there doing a bad thing? Yeah, they're in Afghanistan too, but you said that wasn't a reason to stay there. It's pretty remarkable that this guy can essentially make this announcement through the military on a phone call with reporters, sending troops back to Somalia to deal with terrorism and off Al-Shabaab, which is under the umbrella of Al-Qaeda. And it's like, hey, no big deal. Seems to me that all of the reasons were that the administration provided us for getting out of Afghanistan are reasons that would also prevent you from proactively sending troops to Somalia. But I guess sometimes foreign policy is better left to those who understand the intricacies of such delicate balances, well beyond what you and I could ever understand. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. The American Transmissions talk and text line, noting Biden says he's worried about terrorists. Maybe he should send some of those 500 troops to the southern border. Now, this is an excellent point. Yesterday, on a phone call to reporters, military personnel informed said reporters that Biden has sent less than 500 troops to Somalia to take on terrorists. Now, this was something Obama had sent troops, and Trump was like, not strategic in our interest to have them there. Brought him home. Biden sent him back. Just a couple of weeks ago, the head of Homeland Security admitted that, what was it, the number 43 or 53 that we were aware of, terrorist, somewhere in our country, came across the border. And when asked where these people are, we know where they are. Don't worry about it. Yeah, well, the lessons of September 11th, 2001, how quickly they escape us. Now, if you're going to send, think of it, will not send any sort of meaningful personnel to the border in a way that can actually help stop terrorists from coming across the border, but he'll send them to Somalia to help Somalia deal with the problem there. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? A tremendous amount of sense. Have you heard of this replacement theory thing? I love this. This is yet another one of those things that the left has been talking about for some time, but now that the Buffalo shooter has apparently used it as some of his justification, the left is claiming that the right is the one who came up with this. We'll have that next.